Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2 reads this way. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now here, the Apostle Paul lists some of the most basic doctrines of God's church. And one of those listed here in verse 2 is that of the laying on of hands. Yet millions have never heard of this doctrine. Some may have heard of it, but they don't understand it, and they don't know what it's all about, and they have no idea why it should be done or what it means or when it should be applied. Now, again, this is one of the basic doctrines of the church we're talking about, all of these listed here. And I want to zero in on this, just this one, and that is the doctrine of the laying on of hands. This is one of those basic doctrines, and we really do need to know about this subject, and because we can see this is just vital in many, many different areas. It really touches on many other doctrines that we have in God's church, and even doctrines that we've touched on in recent programs. In recent programs, we've been talking about subjects such as baptism and repentance and receiving God's Holy Spirit. You've heard us mention the laying on of hands several times, and several of these scriptures that we've read talks about the laying on of hands. So this is a doctrine. It's an element that is closely connected with so many other subjects, and we need to look at it more closely and understand just what is this doctrine of the laying on of hands. I'd like to begin by looking at Acts chapter 8. Now, here we find the account where Philip went into the city of Samaria, and he preached the truth of God, and many believed. Now, Philip at this time was not an ordained minister, and yet he was being used mightily, but as we'll see, there was something that he was unable to perform. Only a minister, a true minister of Christ, could do. Here in verse 12, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then Simon," this is talking about Simon Magus himself, "he believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered," he was just amazed, "seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and when they heard that, they sent Peter and John." Now why would they do that? Well, because Philip was not an ordained minister at this time, and he was having some good success with what he was teaching. God was certainly blessing it, but there were some duties that ministers needed to come there and perform that only ministers could perform according to God's word. Verse 15, "when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to them. Notice then verse 17, "then laid they their hands on them." You see, accompanied with prayer in verse 15. "And then they laid their hands on them in verse 17, and they received the Holy Spirit." Now, Philip was not able to do that, and God did not give his Holy Spirit until a true minister of God came and laid hands on them. Now, these were people who had already believed. These were people who had already even been baptized. And yet, it was required that true ministers come, and then through the laying on of hands, only after that was done, did they receive the Holy Spirit. So you can see how important this doctrine is, and why Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2, lists this as one of those basic doctrines of God's true church. Notice another interesting thing here. Now, Simon, of course, he wasn't a true Christian and didn't follow through on the things that he had heard. But notice this interesting verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He wanted more than just to receive God's Holy Spirit. He wanted the office of an apostle, the office of a minister. He wanted to be able to buy his way into the ministry and have this power, the way he saw it, that the apostles had, that through the laying on of their hands, the Holy Spirit was given. So it is through the laying on of hands. And look, here's a case where hundreds had been baptized, and yet the Holy Spirit had been withheld from them because a true minister had not laid hands on them. Now, how many millions of people in this world have been baptized and never have had hands laid on them? Maybe have never even heard of this doctrine before. Now, Simon was really impressed by this, although he had some very wrong motives, to say the least. But he desired this authority, and he recognized the authority that had been given. It was God-given authority to Peter and to John, being true ministers of Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about this, it should highlight an important lesson to us. God does work through men, but it's not to spotlight men. It is to spotlight God. The laying on of hands by a man is commanded. It is important, but it is a symbolic act that represents God himself. And it's not to highlight men. It's not to glorify men. But God does use men in his service and for his purpose. And this is a symbolic act, the laying on of hands, that represents God himself. And it represents God setting someone apart for a very special and a holy purpose. Let's look in the Old Testament and see how this was used. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 28, you'll see that Aaron and his sons were set apart to serve in the priest office. It says that in Exodus 28 and verse 1. And that would be the same thing as the ministry today. So then, with that in mind, Exodus 29 and verse 10 says, "And you shall cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons, the priest or the ministers, shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock." Now, in the Old Testament, the laying on of hands played a very important part in the offering of certain sacrifices. Many verses prove this fact. The one that we're reading here in Exodus 29 says so. You can see it throughout the book of Leviticus and other places, but just a few specific verses, Leviticus 1 and verse 4, and Leviticus 3 and verses 2 and 8, and verse 13 as well. Leviticus 4 talks about it also. The priests were even purified for service to God through the transfer of their own sins to a bull. And Israelites, when they would present a peace offering or a sin offering, hands had to be laid on the animal being offered to transfer the sins from that person to the animal. So here in this case, I'm just getting into the subject to begin with here. If you put all these verses together, we don't have time to go through all the details, but you can see, if you look and study into these verses, this was symbolic of transferring the sins of the individual to the sacrifice itself. So laying on of hands was used to symbolize several different things and is used in several different cases and examples. But in this case, it is used to symbolize a transfer. And so in this case, again, you can see that the animal is set apart by God for this purpose through the laying on of hands. Leviticus 16 also is a very interesting example. This was a ritual there that took place in ancient Israel on the Day of Atonement. And there were two goats there, and one goat represented Jesus Christ, and that goat was offered as a sin offering. And it perfectly typifies Jesus Christ and taking our sins upon himself and then being sacrificed. The other goat was the Azazel goat, and that goat represented Satan the devil. And we have literature that you can study to understand all of this more thoroughly. But the high priest would lay his hands upon the Azazel goat's head and confess all the sins of the people onto that goat. And that goat represented Satan the devil, and that represents a future time when Christ will place the sins of this entire world right on the head and the shoulders of Satan the devil, and he will be forcibly removed. You can read about the fulfillment of that in Exodus 20, the first three verses. And what a wonderful and a beautiful time that will be. But Satan is the author of sin, and this ritual here in Leviticus 16 shows us that, and it shows us the atoning that has to be done. So again, we can see that the laying on of hands is used symbolically as a transfer. Now in Genesis 48, there's another example. I don't think we have time to turn there, but you can look at it, and that's the example where Jacob is blessing his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Those are the sons of Joseph. And to confer the blessings to them, he lays his hands on their heads. And so there is another way that the laying on of hands is used as a transfer. Here it's symbolic of a transfer of blessings. So you can see that particular ceremony was actually a visible outward sign of the blessings that would be poured out on Ephraim and Manasseh. And to do that, Jacob laid his hands on his grandsons' heads to confer God's blessings upon them. Now, was all of that done away with in the New Testament? Well, you can look it up yourself. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. If you have a pen, you can write these verses down and go study it on your own. Or again, we can give you literature to help you be able to prove this. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Those are two examples in the New Testament where Jesus Christ himself blessed little children by laying his hands on them. So look, how important is this? We see it going all the way back to the very first book of the Bible, right there in the book of Genesis. It's all there in Exodus and Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament. We have examples of Jesus Christ himself performing this, transferring blessings, conveying blessings on to little children by the laying on of hands. We need to understand this. We need to understand it more thoroughly, and we'll look more into this and get more into the New Testament examples after the break.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG online. We're streaming to you live at kpcg.fm. The topic of today's program deals with the doctrine of laying on of hands. To understand more about this doctrine and other doctrines in your Bible, sign up for our free Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's free. There's no cost or no obligation to sign up. You can do that at thetrumpet.com. You'll get lessons sent to you that you can go through and study, and it'll make your Bible come alive and open up these points of doctrine to your understanding. Here's what it says about the laying on of hands doctrine. Obviously, the physical act of placing one's hands on someone doesn't transmit the Holy Spirit to him. Only God himself can beget a repentant, baptized person with his Spirit. But God has established this physical ceremony as a symbol of his recognition of the human instruments he has chosen to work through as his true ministers. Find out more about the doctrine of laying on of hands as well as other doctrines in your Bible by requesting the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. You can sign up for it for free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Make sure you go there and sign up today.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Let's go back to the Old Testament to begin the second half here of today's episode. Numbers chapter 27, and we'll look at an example here and then see the New Testament equivalent of this. Numbers 27, and verse 18, it reads, "And the Eternal said unto Moses, Take you Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him." Now, why would he do this? Verse 23 gives us the answer, "And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Eternal commanded by the hand of Moses." So again, here we see a man being used, in this case Moses, and of course he being a true minister of God, and he was commanded to lay his hands upon Joshua, but it was God's doing. You see, the spotlight is on God, not on any man, but God does use his ministers. He does use men, but it was God here who was placing Joshua into a special position. This was symbolic of God giving Joshua special authority. He was actually giving him that authority that Moses had had. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Eternal commanded Moses." So there's another statement about this very same subject. Numbers 8 and verse 10 is another similar example. Now, really, what this would be if it was in the New Testament times, you would just call this an ordination, basically, and we can see that this ceremony or this ritual was not done away with in the New Testament. It's throughout the Old Testament. We've already seen where Jesus Christ, through the laying on of hands, blessed little children. That's in Mark 10 and Luke 18. But there are plenty of other examples. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to the book of Acts. Now, here is the example of the first deacons being ordained in God's church. This is, of course, after the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost in 31 AD. And to this point, there were no deacons in the church, but there was a real need. And notice how they were ordained. How was this authority transferred to them? In Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, we find it says, "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." This is how the first deacons in God's church were ordained. It's through prayer and the laying on of hands. If you'll skip forward to Acts chapter 13, we'll see a similar example here. Acts chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon." Let's see, we'll skip down verse 2. "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them." So they were fasting, they were praying, and they were being inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And Barnabas and Saul were to be separated, set apart, sanctified for a special purpose, a special use in God's service. And then verse 3 says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." This is an example, a New Testament example of an ordination, and really an ordination, you know, that what goes along with an ordination is authority. The same thing that we saw in the example of Joshua. Authority was being given here, in this case, to Barnabas and to Saul for the work which God had called them to do. And there was fasting involved, there was praying, and they had to have hands laid on them. So again, you can see this was not done away with in the New Testament. It's very much a part of the record from Jesus Christ himself to Paul and Barnabas and the apostles. It's in instructions throughout the New Testament, and even there with the scripture we started with in this episode, Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, this is listed as one of the foundational basic doctrines of God's church. Now, here in Acts 13, you can see that Paul was ordained into the ministry. He was ordained by the hand of man, and he had certainly being prepared and used by God to some extent, but he didn't have that authority of the office behind him, and here he received that authority from God. It was by the laying on of the hands of men, but it was all from God. So again, another purpose, here's a scriptural evidence and proof, another purpose for the laying on of hands is for that of ordination. Now in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 is another example we can look at. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to a young man, a young evangelist, and here he writes in verse 5, "When I call you to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." So Timothy was a third generation Christian. He was the third generation to be in God's church. And he says, "And I am persuaded that it is in you also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God." This is talking about the Holy Spirit, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Just like that example there in Acts chapter 8. You see, someone must repent. They must hear and believe the gospel. They must repent. And they must be baptized. We've talked about that in previous programs. But also, they must have the laying on of hands by a true minister, and then they receive the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. So God is the one, again, the emphasis is on God here. God is the one that gave the power to Timothy, the power of God's Holy Spirit. But he did it by the hands of Paul. And that was very important for Paul to remind Timothy, look, stir up that gift of God. We do that through daily Bible study, daily prayer, going to God on our knees continually. But also we do need to remember that through the laying on of hands, we do symbolically show that we're coming under the authority of God himself. God does work through his government in our lives. And you must be willing to acknowledge his authority before you can really be set apart to receive the Spirit of God or be set apart for any other purpose for that matter. It's by the laying on of hands that we act out, if you will, being set apart to serve God as a living sacrifice, submitting ourselves to him, submitting our lives to him, and submitting our will to him and to the very will of Jesus Christ himself. You can think of Galatians 2 and verse 20 about where Paul said, "Look, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me." So it is by the laying on of hands that we act out, if you will, being set apart to serve God as a living sacrifice, submitting our will to his and to the will of Jesus Christ himself. Another area we need to look at here when it comes to this doctrine of the laying on of hands, and that is healing. God does promise miraculous healing. Psalm 103 and verse 3 says that we're not to forget all the benefits that God promises us, that he forgives all of our sins and he heals all of our diseases. And the laying on of hands is certainly a part of that as well. If you look at Luke, the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4, and we'll pick it up here in verse 40. "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any who were sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Now here is a case of Jesus Christ laying hands on those who are sick, and really that you'll find when you do a study on this, you'll find that in every case that this is the instruction, and through the laying on of hands, someone is set apart for the special and holy purpose of miraculous healing. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, it talks about those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, that they lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Jesus Christ set the example in this. True ministers of God would do the same as he. And there are many scriptures in the Bible that proves this and sanctions the laying on of hands along with prayer for the healing of the sick. I'll just give you a few if you're taking notes or if you want to look these up on your own. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 30. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Mark chapter 16. I just quoted that one. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, we're looking at that now. Luke 13 verses 10 through 13, Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, Acts chapter 28, James 5, and the list goes on and on. And look, if you didn't get all that written down, we've got literature. Order the literature, order what we have to offer to you. It's all for free, and you can study into this more. Now, with that said, of course, the laying on of hands, it does accompany a minister's prayer for the sick. That's another purpose. When you look at all these verses, you can see that. But let me emphasize, there's nothing holy or significant about the man's hands or the oil that's used. Look, it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, and that's all done by God. It's a supernatural miracle. Performed by God, and it's by those stripes of Jesus Christ that we are healed. 1 Peter 2 says that, Isaiah 53 says that, and that's all very, very spiritual. So again, it's not any special power that the man possesses or that the man's hands possess or the oil or any of that. It's all a matter of faith. It's all very spiritual. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. And so this is not some kind of a physical burden, and it's certainly not spotlighting any kind of physical powers that any human being has. But God prescribes certain physical actions we have to follow, and he's really giving us a means to express our faith and to express our trust in him. And each time we go through a ceremony like this, we communicate to God that we're submitting to him, that we're submitting our bodies to him and to Jesus Christ, and that we believe his promises. That's really what it's all about. Now, again, just looking at the scriptures we've looked at even today, and this is just a quick glimpse into this basic foundational doctrine of God's church. But the laying on of hands is used to transfer sins, to transfer blessings, to transfer authority. It's used in receiving of God's Holy Spirit. It's used in ordinations. It's used in anointing the sick. It's used in the blessing of little children. It's used in a marriage ceremony. And in every case, it's used to set someone apart for special purpose, whether that's for service or ordination or healing or protection, guidance, other blessings. And the laying on of hands is performed by God's ministers in order to show that God does work through his ministers. It teaches us to some extent about God's government and about coming under that authority of God. And look, so many do not understand this. Why is it that so many have such little understanding about this foundational doctrine of God's church? And it does show us that while God is invisible, Christ is invisible, but they are in charge. Christ is the living head of the church, and it is a perpetual reminder of God's government. It is Christ who guides his church through the ministry. Study the literature. Ask for the free literature we can send you. Study it prayerfully, and remember that God's use of the laying on of hands is a symbolic act designed to represent God himself setting a person apart for a special and a holy purpose. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.